That night, Jesse found himself back in the basement of the Episcopal Church in Cambridge. He couldn't help but smile, thinking that he was going to be spending a lot more time in church than he had ever anticipated he would. He hadn't been to church twice in a week since he was a kid, and those occasions had more to do with playing ball for the local church teams than religion. And he had never been a man to expend much energy contemplating God. But he supposed, in spite of all the carnage he'd witnessed, he still believed. And from what he knew of AA, a belief in a higher power helped. That remained to be seen. For the moment, other than compiling his list and finding a temporary sponsor, he felt more like an AA observer than a participant. He was a little early this time. Although most of the seats were empty, he found the same seat he'd sat in the previous night. He'd never been a front row type of guy anyway, not in school nor in the police academy. He passed the time checking his phone to see if there had been any messages from anyone in Paradise. He'd had his cops distribute the photo of the kid caught on camera at the gas station. Jesse had stopped by the Patels on his way down to Boston to check in on them and to see if they might recognize the kid in the photo. But only Liza Patel was home, and she swore she had never seen the kid before. "What's his name? Is he the one who did this to us?" she asked, pointing out the window at where the cross had been burned into the grass. Though a landscaper had already rototilled the soil where the charred grass had been, Jesse could tell the cross was not going to vanish from Liza Patel's memory any time soon. "We don't have a name yet," he said. "He bought 5 gallons of kerosene last night about a half hour before the incident here, at a gas station not too far out of town. But a lot of people buy kerosene in these parts. I'll let you know if we make an arrest. Meanwhile, I'm leaving a car on your house for at least another few days." Jesse hadn't expected gratitude. That was good, because he didn't get it, not at first. "You could put 50 cars out there, and I wouldn't feel my kids were safe. But you wouldn't understand, would you, Chief Stone?" He didn't bother asking her to call him Jesse. "Try me. I might surprise you." "Do you know what it feels like to be other? Ron thinks I don't get it. Believe me, I get it. I didn't know until we began dating. Then I learned in a hurry how it feels. And it wasn't only from ignorant asses giving us dirty looks or cursing at us in the street that I learned. No, the hardest lessons were from my friends and family. I can still hide behind my blonde hair and blue eyes, but my children can't hide. They will always be other, and I'm scared to death for them." "I know you think I can't understand, Mrs. Patel, but I do. I'd feel exactly the same way if I had kids. Look, I can't undo what happened here or make your scars go away. All I can do is try to make sure it doesn't happen again. And I can't even guarantee that." For the first time, Liza Patel smiled a genuine smile at Jesse. "Thank you for being honest with me, Chief. We've talked about me taking the kids for a couple of weeks and staying with my folks. I'd hate for that to happen, but in your shoes, I might do the same." "You'll promise to leave a car there for a few more days?" she asked. 24 hours a day for as long as you want." "Okay, then. We won't go anywhere yet." Then it was Jesse's turn to smile. "Understood." That was more than an hour ago. When Jesse looked up from his phone, Callie, the woman who had run last night's meeting, was standing in front of him. In spite of Bill's admonition and in spite of himself, Jesse couldn't help but react. There was no denying he was attracted to her, and, unless there was something severely wrong with his ability to read people, it seemed she was equally attracted to him.
"It's good to see you here again, Jesse," she said, smiling. She had a great smile. It wasn't neon white like Diana's had been, but it was warm and welcoming.
"I really felt like drinking earlier, and Bill suggested I come to a meeting."
"He was right to suggest that. How do you feel now?"
"Not like drinking."
"I won't get preachy, Jesse. I'm just glad you're here. We're stronger together." She turned, took a step, then turned back. "And if you all go for coffee tonight,
I would love to come along. Jesse just nodded. A few minutes later, Anya, the tattooed angel, came and sat down by Jesse. Hi, Jesse, she said, her voice brittle. She was doing that nervous thing with her fingers. Anya, right?
Yep.
Where's Hank? Anya seemed almost to collapse in on herself.
He couldn't get away from work. You know how it is.
Jesse knew. What he knew was that she was making excuses for him. He was tempted to push her, but then remembered he wasn't there as a cop. He was there for the same reason Anya and Callie were there, to support one another and not to drink. That's okay, he said. We're here. She seemed to relax a little after that. Thanks, Jesse. Sometimes the world just feels like a judgment and punishment machine. I think the idea is that we're all safe from that in here.